Last night, Rebecca tried to murder me again. It had been a while since I'd had that dream. Not since we left Asherley, a place I called home for one winter and the bitterest part of spring. The dream only ever recurring when Max was gone and I'd find myself alone with Danny. As always, the dream begins with Asherley in the distance, shining from afar in a bright clearing. There is no greenhouse, nor boathouse, just a stand of red canoes stabbed into the pebbly beach. In fact, the Asherley of my dream looks more like it might have back in its whaling days, when from the highest turret you could still spot tall ships dotting Gardner's Bay. Overpowered by the urge to be inside the house again, I pass easily through the thicket of forest that surrounds the property. I want so badly to wander its wood-paneled halls, to feel its plush red carpets beneath my bare feet, to move my fingers in the play of sun through the stained glass windows. But an invisible force keeps me out. I'm relegated to the bay, where I float like a sad specter, made to watch those who still haunt Asherley act out the same strange pantomime. I can see Max, my Max, relaxing on an Adirondack, one in a line like white teeth dotting the silvery green lawn. He's reading a newspaper, framed by the majestic spread of Asherley behind him, its walls of gray stones, its crowd of terracotta peaks, its dentils studded with carved rosettes, anchored by the heavy brow of its deep stone porch. Every lamp in every room of the house is lit. A fire roars in every fireplace. The circle of windows at the top of the high turret burns like a sentinel over the bay, as though the house were about to put on a great show for me. I call for Max, but he can't hear me. I want to go to him, to touch his face, to smell his hair, to fit my shoulder under his arm, our sides pressed together. My throat feels strangled with that longing. On cue, she strides out the back door, carefully balancing a tray of lemonade. She's wearing a white lace dress with a red sash, her blonde hair glinting in the sun. Her face, so eerily symmetrical, should almost be odd-looking, except for the singular perfection of each and every one of her features. Here is Rebecca, making her way down to Max, changing her gait to accommodate the steep slope of the back lawn. Now Danny bolts from the house behind her, laughing, her chubby legs charging straight for the water and for me. She's 3, maybe 4. Her hair, far too long for a child, is the same white blonde as her mother's. I often wish I could have met Danny when she was this young and unformed. Things might have been very different between us. My body instinctively thrusts forward to catch the girl, to prevent her from running too far into the bay and drowning. Rebecca yells, "Be careful, sweetheart!" which Max repeats. She puts the tray down. From behind, she wraps her arms around Max's shoulders and warmly kisses his neck. He places a reassuring hand on her forearm. They both watch as Danny splashes in the shallow water, screaming and laughing, calling, "Look at me! I can swim!" Then, as she always does in the dream, Rebecca becomes the only one who spots me bobbing in the bay, too near her daughter for her liking. She straightens up and walks towards the water, stalking me like a lion not wanting to disturb its prey. Still in her dress, she wades into the water, moving past a frolicking, oblivious Danny, until we are finally face to face. Her eyes narrow, forming that familiar dimple over her left brow. I try to flee, but my legs are useless. "Who are you?" she asks. "You don't belong here."